Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, beloved, if you didn't have breakfast, you had a little refreshment just a while ago. Good morning.
Good morning.
Excellent. We are real pleased and happy and full of joy to be with you this morning. We thank you for your kind invitation. And let me say we enjoyed very much the worship service this morning. Now, there weren't many people here. But you know something? The Lord was here. Where two or three are gathered together unto his name, there he says he is in the midst. The Lord was here, and the Lord is here now. Well, we're not in the biggest building in the world. You know, they have these big cathedrals like that glass cathedral out there in California. I take the liberty to say the Lord is not there. But he's here. And we thank him that he's here. Again, we want to thank you for your fellowship, your kind invitation. And now for the message of the morning, one thing. One thing. Mark chapter 10, please. One thing. Mark chapter 10. I'm glad to see a number of young people present with us. I have a real love and desire for the youth. The youth constitute the future assemblies if the Lord be not come. And they need our encouragement. They need all that we can give them. Luke chapter 10. Verse 17. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Well, this is a modern young man. He kept the commandments, at least that's what he said. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. One thing thou lack." Notice, please, he had great possessions, but he wasn't happy. And the Lord said, "One thing you lack." And how true this is today. Take all those wealthy people out there in Hollywood and scattered throughout the world. 99% of them are miserable. They're so afraid that someone will steal their wealth, they can't even sleep. One thing thou lackest. And this young fellow was rich, but he wasn't satisfied. Money can buy a lot of things, but it can't buy some things. Do you know money can buy a house, but it can't buy a home? And some people have very humble houses, but they have a home. The story is told concerning a young boy. Oh, he was about 6 or 7 years old, and his parents' house was destroyed by fire. And someone came to the young fellow and said, "Oh, we are so sorry, we are so sorry." And you know what? 9 years old, he said, "We don't have a house, but we still have a home." He had more insight than the wealthy. Money can buy food. You can buy all the food you want with money, but you can't buy an appetite. Have you ever noticed that? When I was a boy, there lived a fellow named John D. Rockefeller. Millionaire. And he said he would give $500,000 to anyone who could prepare a meal that he could enjoy. But he had the money. And I want to emphasize to you that our younger money, oh, people go after it. They're striving, money, 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 more, more. Money isn't going to make you happy. Money will buy a bed. And up our way they advertise all kinds of beds, straw beds, water beds. Money can't buy sleep. And you go to the doctor and you say, "Doctor, I can't sleep." And he examines you, asks you a lot of questions, and then he gives you a piece of paper. And he says, "Take this to the pharmacist." You take it to the pharmacist, and he gives you some pills, but nobody gives you sleep. You cannot buy certain things with money. And you can't buy joy. Money will buy happiness, but it will not buy joy. A certain man was walking down the street, and he saw the fire engines in the distance. And as he looked, it appeared that it was his neighbor's house. And he prayed, "Oh Lord, have mercy on my neighbor, and don't let the house burn too much." And as he got nearer, he saw it was his house. All the happiness was gone. Do you know that money can buy books? You young folks have seen this. But it can't buy brains. You remember that? I know, and I came up in depression times, you know, when we didn't have much. But some fellows were more fortunate than others, and there was one boy there. He bought all the books. His parents bought all the books. But he never passed the test. So money will do certain things, but it will not do other things. One thing this rich man lacked, and I ask you here this morning, do you have that one thing? The one thing actually is a person. A person. Some time ago, in biblical times, there were two brothers, and they were separated from each other for many years. And they met after many years. And the younger one said to the older one, "Brother, take this present." And what do you think the older brother said? The older brother said, "I have enough." And then the older brother offered the younger brother a present. What do you think the younger brother said? "I have all." Do you have all? Do you have all? If you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have all. All in the world without Jesus Christ equals zero. And zero plus Jesus Christ equals everything. Someone went to a man's house. He lived up in an attic. Had very little. And someone said to him, "How do you manage to live in this place? The roof leaks. You have no food. You have no heat. How do you manage to live in this place?" And the aged man took his Bible on his knee and said, "Sir, I am sitting under the shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ with great delight, and his fruit is sweet to my taste." Can you say that? If you do not have Jesus Christ as Savior, you lack everything. What did the Lord say to this young man? "Take up your cross. Follow me." And the young man was wealthy, and he hesitated. And we don't read that he followed the Lord. But I want to emphasize that you may have all that this world gives, and if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have nothing. Then there's another thing that impresses me about these rich people and how they show their unhappiness. in England. There is a wealthy woman there. She owns a lot of land. Has no need for money. She has all the money that she needs. And she has a brick fence built around her property. She has a guard every 20 feet. And in between each guard is the guard dog. I wonder why. Does she sound happy? But she has money. Money will not make you happy, but Jesus Christ will make you happy. But we must go on. One thing was lacking. Turn with me now, please, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. One thing. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Please note that. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha was upset, cumbered, distracted with much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to come and help me." Jesus answered, "Martha, Martha, you are careful of and troubled about many things. One thing is needful." One thing is needful. Mary has chosen. Now, I'm going to read it wrong. If I were to ask you to recite this, most of you would recite it the way I'm going to read it. Now, look at the Bible, please. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the better part. Is that how your Bible reads? If your Bible reads that way, please raise your hand. Mary has chosen the good part. Well, if she chose the good part, then Martha chose the bad part. Is that right? Doesn't mean that. There is a place for one to work and take care of the home. And how I admire the sisters as I watch them. Housekeeping is a tough job. And housekeeping along with raising children is a tough job. And that was what Martha was doing. But the Lord said, one thing is needful, and she has chosen the good part. What was she doing? What was Mary doing? We read that she kneeled and heard his word. She had her priorities correct. Not that Martha was wrong, but there is a higher plane than just physical work. There is a spiritual plane where we sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. I ask you, child of God, when is the last time that you sat at the feet of the Lord and heard his word? When is the last time you did that? That's the good part. And it is necessary. One thing is absolutely essential for the believer: to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. And don't tell me how busy you are. Now, I'm going to say something. I often say it, and I get a lot of disagreement. Following. Everybody has the same amount of time. Any disagreement? Right. In my hour, I have 60 minutes. How many do you have? And in 1 minute, I have 60 seconds. How many do you have? So don't tell me I don't have time to get alone with the Lord. Everybody has the same amount of time. Take time, child of God, to get alone with the Lord and kneel at his feet and hear his voice. One thing is necessary: that we as believers should get at the feet of the Lord and hear his word. Now, there is such a thing as fast food eating, McDonald's and some of those other fellows. Fast food. When you read the Bible, this is not fast food reading. And then there is another thing called speed reading, Evelyn Woods speed reading. Now, beloved, this is spiritual food. Don't eat fast and don't read fast. Every word is important. And that is why so many of us take a few seconds a day to look into the Word of God, and by the time we are out the door, we don't know what we have read. It is absolutely essential. One thing is necessary, that we sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to Him. You know, most of us don't know how to listen. Many, many years ago, the children are, I won't tell you how old they are, but they're grown, they have their own families. But these were little children, about, oh, 8 or 9, 5 or 6, somewhere in there. And we had a little party for one of the girls, and invited a number of girls, their age, you know. Well, for a while things went well, but you know how it is with children. They get restless, and you have to find something for them to do. So one mother said, "All right, children, I want you to form a semicircle. All of you get in line in a circle." And she said to the first girl, she wrote something. And she said to the first girl, "Now you read what I wrote." And then she said to her, "Tell the next girl what I told you or what you read. And tell the next." And it went all the way around. And when the last one told what she had read and what she had read, had no relationship to what the first one said. Why? What was wrong? They weren't listening. And beloved, if we are going to learn this word, this one thing that is essential, we've got to learn to sit still and listen. Oh, we like our children to sit still, don't we? But we as adults need to learn to sit still too. And you will hear the voice of the Lord. He will speak. He speaks through His word. Which reminds me of something else. I didn't plan to mention this. Some time ago, it was my responsibility to teach a group of youngsters. Oh, this was a good high school graduates and college people. And we discussed many things of great interest. And then we came to this subject of hearing the Lord's voice. And I noticed two of them nudging each other. And then one raised their hand. "What does the Lord's voice sound like?" And then I noticed some smiling. We've got him now. We've got him. What does hearing the Lord's voice? And I noticed two of them nudging each other. And then one raised their hand. "What does the Lord's voice sound like?" And then I noticed some smiling. We've got him now. We've got him. What does the voice... Do you know what the voice of the Lord sounds like? You know what I said? Now, I want you, you're raising the question, I want you to stand, describe your mother's voice in such a way that if I hear it, I will recognize it. She said, "I can't do that." I said, "Well, don't you know your mother's voice? You said, well, describe it for me so that I..." I said, "And I can't tell you in so many words what the voice is like, but I recognize it when I hear it. And if you once hear that voice, you will know it. It is necessary. One thing is needful: to sit at the feet of the Lord and listen to His word." And I ask you, particularly young people, make place for the word. I know you're busy. I know you have a lot of homework. You make place for the Bible. You'll be surprised what will happen. Do you know that your grades will increase? Do you believe that? Do you believe that if you take enough time out to get something from the Lord each day, that your grades will be better? We won't turn to it. But in Daniel chapter 1, when you go home, read Daniel chapter 1. There were four boys there. And they didn't mix and mingle and do what all the others did. That reminds me of something else. Young people, no unbeliever is your peer. You get me? They talk about peer pressure. No unbeliever is your peer. You are a child of God, the highest social standing in the universe. So don't you tell me about peer pressure. Peer pressure. Unbelievers are not your peers. And so concerning these boys, they decided we will behave ourselves as before the Lord. We won't do what the others are doing. And final examination came. And who do you think was the examiner? King Nebuchadnezzar himself. And King Nebuchadnezzar was quite a fellow. He had power, more power than any single person has had since his time. So much so that Daniel said, whom you kept alive, you kept alive. And if he didn't look, if he looked at you and didn't like you, he said, take his head off, and that was it. And he was the examiner. How many of you have been before? Oh, let me put it this way. Which do you prefer to take? A written exam or an oral exam? Which is easier? You take a written exam, you have time to think. You take an oral exam, and there are the examiners shooting questions at you. You don't have much time to think. And here King Nebuchadnezzar, he was the examiner, and here are these four boys. What was the result of the examination? 1, 2, 3, and 4. They feared God, they studied his word, and they listened to him. And I guarantee you, young people, in here this day, if you will honor God, study his word, do his word, I guarantee you that you will be at the head of the class. Now you try it and tell me the next time you see me. One thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good part to sit at the feet of the Lord and hear his word. Child of God, make it your habit, your practice, and your business each day to take time out from all that you have to do. Sit at the feet of the Lord and hear his word. One thing is necessary. Psalm 27, please. One thing you lack. One thing is needful. Psalm 27, verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Child of God, do you like the house of the Lord? That's the question. What do you think of the house of the Lord? What is your evaluation of the house of the Lord? David said on another occasion, how lovely is thy tabernacle, O Lord. My soul longs, even faints for the courts of the Lord. I ask you, beloved, were you anxious to get here this morning? Now be truthful. Were you anxious to get here? Do you so love the courts of the Lord that when the time comes, snow, rain, shine, anything, you want to be in the house of the Lord? I believe so. There were a number of us here this morning, in spite of the rain. Another time that the psalmist David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I ask you, were you glad to be here this morning? One thing have I desired. In Psalm 26, David said, Lord, how I love your house and the place where your glory dwells. I ask again, child of God, do you like the house of the Lord? And do you know what we read in Ephesians 3 and 10? Don't turn to it now. I'm going to give you the modern understanding of it. In Ephesians 3 and 10, God says, the church is his masterpiece. Now, the whole creation is his masterpiece, but he has a special affection for the church. What do you think of the church of God? If God says, this is my masterpiece, we do well to speak well of his masterpiece. It does not yet appear what we're going to be, but there is nothing to compare with the body of believers, the church of God. We don't look like much, do we? And many of us don't have much. But God says, this, the church of God, is my masterpiece. What do we think of it? How do we esteem the house of the Lord? It's God's dwelling place. And David said, one thing have I desired, I want to dwell, I want to be in the house of the Lord. And I want to ask again. I noticed that meetings were announced, I believe, for Wednesday night. Are you going to be here? Where are you going to be? Do you know a better place to be than to be in the house of the Lord? Oh, may it be our desire to be in the house of the Lord, where His people are, and above all, where the Lord Himself is. And another thing, beloved, don't come late. You see, if the president were to invite you to his White House, I imagine you'd put on your best clothes, and if the appointment is 10 o'clock, you'd be there at 9:15. Well, that's all right. I have no objection. When the Lord sets a time, and the believers know that time, don't come in late. And you know, being late is just a bad habit. Next weekend, the clock will go backwards. Fall is back, right? Well, I noticed in New York, and I noticed it several times, certain individuals, whether the clock went forward or backward, they were always late by the same amount of time. That's bad habit. That's what that is. Let us honor the Lord. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. And then I have a little piece, a tract, you probably have read it. Why some people don't like to go to the assembly. Even believers. One excuse. The seats were too hard. Now when you go to that ball game and they're playing some games today, those seats don't have cushions. You go, don't you? And these are nice seats. So don't tell me that the seats are too hard. And when you go, you have to pay, don't you? How much did you pay to be here this morning? Beloved, let's not make excuses. Let us think highly of the house of the Lord. And then some people say, I don't like to go to the assembly. The people aren't friendly. My. The people are, well, how friendly are you? I remember years ago in New York City. Most of my experience comes from New York City. And a sister said to me, I am leaving this church. I said, why, what's wrong, sis? Well, the people aren't friendly. I'm going to a good church. I said, look, be careful. She said, I'm going to a perfect church. I said, be very careful. The minute you set foot in there, it will cease to be perfect. Let's like that which the Lord thinks a lot of. Now, the brother didn't tell me how much time I had, but I see it's 5 to 12, and I think it would only be reasonable that I stop at 12. Does that sound reasonable? All right. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. One thing thou lackest, one thing is needful, one thing have I desired. Now Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Philippians 3 and 13. Let's start at verse, I said 13, yes. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing. This one thing I do. Forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Or as it might read, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. Young people and old people, what's the one thing that you want more than anything else? What are you living for? What's the one thing that you're living for? He says, this one thing I do, I press forward to the prize, to the call. I ask you, child, what are you living for? This question was asked a young man. And it was asked by his uncle. I hear you're in college. You expect to graduate? Yes. And after you graduate, what then? Oh, I guess I'll get married. And what then? You'd have a nice house, raise some children. And what then? I'll retire. And what then? You get the gist of it? Well, I suppose I'll die. Well, and what then? That's not the end. Death is the beginning of eternity. What then? What are you living for? What are your aims and your goals? This one thing I do, I press forward for the prize of the high calling of God. Now, again, we're not going to turn to it. Read Psalm 139 carefully, and you will find that before we were conceived, God had a divine plan for every one of us. Do you know what the plan is? Do you know what God's plan for your life is? Please find out. And pursue that plan to the glory of God. When God saved you, He gave you a gift. I'm not talking now about natural talent. When He saved you, He gave you a gift. Do you know what your gift is? It can be a lot of trouble if you don't know what your gift is. He gave each one of us a gift. God has no ungifted children. Did you know that? Many, many years ago, we received a piece in the mail. There will be a special meeting for the parents of the especially gifted child. Don't go to the meeting if your child is not highly gifted. All of God's children are gifted. Do you know what your gift is? And are you pursuing that one thing? Take Joseph. You know the story of Joseph. And at the end, he went through much, didn't he? He said, God set me before you. He was conscious of the fact that he was in the will of God. I ask you again, beloved, what is God's purpose for you? And this is particularly important for those of you that are young. You'll notice I'm stressing the young. I like the young. See, I won't be young anymore. But I've learned certain things and I'm passing them on to you. Get God in your life and keep Him there. Primarily. And be very careful what they teach you in school. Things are changing. The morals, even the leaders, are as immoral as you can imagine. I'm going to say this and no more. Did you hear the right vice president recently? Anybody? You didn't hear him? Well, look it up. Immorality is on the increase. Child of God and young people, this one thing I do. Press forward to the prize of the high calling of God. Keep on the path that He has put you on for His glory and His honor. You know, we read about Moses. God said to Moses, I have chosen him to free the children of Israel. Did he accomplish it? Yes, he accomplished it. You read about Joshua. Joshua's purpose, God said, was to lead the children of Israel from the wilderness into the promised land. Did he do it? Yes, he did. And I think of the Apostle Paul, at the end of his career, he could say, I have fought. Now, many of your Bibles say, I have fought a good fight. That is not the best translation. There's only one good fight. Did you know it? Paul said, I have fought the good fight. Are you in the good fight? Don't worry about all these people around here fighting for this and fighting for the other. No, no. There's only one good fight. Are you in it? Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. And when you turn to 1 Corinthians 9, he's talking about a race course. And you know the thing that I like about 1 Corinthians 9 is this. If you read it carefully, it says that in a natural race, one person wins. Is that right? Only. But read it carefully and you will find that in the spiritual race, every believer can win. And that's a thrilling thought. If I run the race according to the rules, I'll be a winner. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. Well, that's, are you on course, beloved? This one thing I do, one thing is necessary. Are you on course? I have kept the faith. Oh, young people, keep the faith. Stop going here and there. Stay where the Lord has put you and learn the scriptures to the glory and honor of God, and you'll be blessed. Stop running around. Stay right where God has put you. Everybody's grass looks greener. Isn't that right? I remember some summers ago, we took good care of the grass, had the man come by and spray and all that. But I noticed some patches here and there. And I looked across at my neighbors. I said, I wonder what he does with his. His looks so good. I better go over there and ask him. And when I walked over there and looked at his was worse than mine. Stay where God puts you. Don't run around. He put you in the assembly, stay there and thank him. There is more real biblical truth taught in the assembly than anywhere else. Now, I know some of you are going to disagree with me, but I'm still convinced of this. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, oh, I like this part, there is laid up for me not a crown, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But not only to me, and not to me only, but to all. Do you love his appearing? Do you want the Lord to come? Stay on course, and there's a crown there for you also. Now, there are some people, they get off course. They're good believers on Sunday, but not the rest of the week. Now, there was a certain young man who was applying for a job, and he asked the elders and so forth in the church for letters of recommendation. Well, they were all nice. He was there every Sunday. But when he went for the interviewer said, but all the letters that I have, tell me what you do on Sunday. I want to know what you do the rest of the week. Are you on course? Time's up. One thing thou lackest. If Jesus Christ is not your Savior, you're lacking one thing. One thing is needful, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, to study his word and listen to him on bended knees. One thing have I desired. How do you like the house of the Lord? Even this small company. What do you think of it? And one thing I do, I press forward for the prize of the high calling of God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we bow in thy blessed presence. We thank thee for this occasion that brings us together. We thank thee for our coming together even earlier this morning to remember the Lord. We thank thee for thy presence with us then and even now. And thou knowest that which we have considered together. One thing. Important one thing. We ask thee to speak to every heart here. That if we are not following as thy word teaches, that while there is time we may turn to thee. We ask thy blessing now upon thy word and upon each one gathered here. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Bring us up again, we pray thee, this evening to thine honor and to thy glory. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, beloved, I'm going to ask that you sing with me. You know, it has been said that a visitor should be careful what hymns he gives out. He doesn't know the hymns that you know. But I think that you know this one. 341. If we don't know it, please let me know. Once again, the gospel story from the Savior you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn unto the Lord? Come believing. Do we know that? The sister says yes. All right. May we stand, please? Again, the gospel. Let's start. This is the gospel message. Gospel is good news. Why? Tell me this, beloved. Why do we sing so slow? Why would a man going to heaven, full of the joy of the Lord, sing so slow? Now let's try it again, please. Once again.